Welcome to Natural Recovery from Suffering. This is Scott Killaby. I got a call earlier from a family member. I won't say the name, but kind of a distant family member. And this person only knew me during the days of my anger repression. So when I had treatment centers, if somebody would have called and said, like a friend, I need help, I would have jumped to it, and I always did. When I was in 12-step programs, I made 12-step calls. It's like somebody's out on a limb, you know, drinking, or they've relapsed, and me and a couple of 12-step buddies would just go in and rescue the day, you know, like be that 12-step support system that says, we love you. And, you know, you don't have to feel ashamed. But of course, they felt so much shame, you know, to tell somebody that they shouldn't have to be ashamed when shame is part of the driver behind addiction didn't really probably dissolve the shame. Sometimes it would get people into treatment. But I think what I'm trying to say is when you operate a certain way, you don't really realize, oh, that's your ego. Because even if it's a really sweet ego or helpful, I mean, if it is a sweet, so to speak, or helpful ego, I mean, how do you connect your suffering to that? It's hard with buried anger and codependency because you can see the visible effects in your life. Like you can see that when people ask you for help, you go, oh, okay. And you can also see like there's depression here or chronic pain there or just a sense of powerlessness, triggers, defensiveness, shame, guilt, all that stuff, disease, mental health. But how do you connect it to just saying yes or not saying no? It's so hard. When Dan and I were developing this work in our treatment centers, everybody was going through a transformation. The clients, the staff, and everybody was resisting in their own way, but people were in different ways going very deep. I mean, even some clients were definitely getting to the very core of it all. And I think Dan and I shifted our whole, I mean, I know we did. We shifted our whole mentality around addiction working together in those treatment centers because I think we watched our own codependency through the years. And when we finally got together at the Killaby Center, with that synergy that was between us, we had the power, I think, that neither one of us had on our own to try to make change. But it was just two guys owning a treatment center. He worked there, and just full of everywhere we looked was codependency. And do we fight this? No, because we are this. And we couldn't, I mean, yeah, of course we fought the system. We did the whistleblowing thing, like, you know, this system sucks. But really, we were the system. And buried anger is really a big part of the system of mental health and addiction treatment, including buried hurt and sadness. And it's just unknown. People don't know it. And a lot of helpers and teachers and coaches and therapists, they definitely mean well. But as long as you have buried emotions, buried anger, you can so easily be manipulated by someone who is just trying to get their needs met, and they're in their suffering, and you can't see it. You can't see through the surface kind of stories that they're giving you, but because you have buried anger, you just want to help. Because we need love and approval, us codependents. So if an addict comes up and they're like, I'm suffering, you know, I mean, you got to help me. We're like, I know I do, because I have that heart as a codependent, as an empath, I have that heart that just says, if I see somebody who's suffering, it's always been hard to turn away. But I texted my brother after that phone call and I said, you know what? I just said no to such and such because the way that he did that was that he called a week ago and looking for treatment and I was setting it up. And I was saying, you know, he was seeking my advice. He's like, you're the guru, help me. And I said, well, it's childhood buried emotions, but I can't help you because I'm related to you. I couldn't say my, because then you would know who it is. But I said, I'm your blank. And I can't be your teacher. I can't be your sponsor. It's a conflict. The family dynamics that created you created me. And I know better than to step into what you're going through right now because I was part of the reason it was created. And I said, I still will help you though. I'm going to get something lined up here. And all I want you to do is say yes to this, okay? And I didn't hear from him. He left. It's just gone. Radio silence for quite a while, actually. The next thing I get is this bombastic text, just cursing me out. You don't care. And, you know, in that moment, it's like, okay. It's not like I sat and thought about my response. I trusted myself. And I said, don't contact me. After I've tried to help you and you denied that help, don't contact me again until you're ready for help and don't talk to me like that. And I said it more strongly than that because he needed to hear it. He couldn't hear it until I got loud. And he then knew that, oh gosh, that's Scott. If Scott said that, he means it. Because see, he always knew me as the one that would just get up and go help. And what I said to him and my brother is, look, I've gotten up and helped so many people in my life, it's cost me my health. And people don't know how it's costing them their health, to be that kind of person who just jumps up and helps people without boundaries. I can't prove it, and yet the science is doing it every day. It's proving our experience. I can't sit here and prove to you that my buried anger was the root of all this suffering. But thankfully, I've got this science that I keep pointing to. So for all of you who think you have codependency, go to ChatGPT and just say, is it possible that my codependency comes from buried anger? Just see what it says. And then I want you to give characteristics of your personality. If you're loud and angry, tell ChatGPT. If you're quiet and disconnected or a people pleaser, tell ChatGPT. If you have chronic pain, tell it. Addiction, tell it, because it will think for you in a way that your repression won't allow you to. It'll think clearly for you. Because I was trying to think clearly for my family member, and I realized that when there's trauma, people can't think clearly for themselves. I couldn't either. You know, my family member was in a crisis, but that's what repression is. This is trauma that we're living in. And we don't treat it with the kind of respect that we need to. That trauma requires boundaries, not just helping. Because we're part of the problem when we're helping from an unconscious place. We just don't realize it if we have buried emotions. Because we're trying to get our needs met. And that always skews things. Because we'll say, I want you to go to treatment, get better. That's not true. I need you to love me and I need to be safe. That's what's true for somebody with buried emotions. And so when we help people, we're lying to them until we're clearer. And you don't want to lie to the people that you love. But the thing is we don't know we're lying because it's all unconscious. And you can say, well, aren't we helping people? Stop. Stop and go into your body and see where it comes from. Of course you would say that helping is good because helping is good. I do it every day. But if it's not authentic, there's a price to pay. And it's not just the addicts. It's the people that are in relationships with them. In families with them. We suffer together until one person gets clear in a family or two. Because the whole family has to suffer in this. In some way, because we keep pulling each other in. In a relationship, a spouse gets pulled in, whether they consent or not, to the issue, because the addiction is covering up the emotions that create disconnection in the relationships. So everybody gets pulled in some way. But if you're not conscious and clear, you will get pulled in. If you process buried emotions, you'll stand in your ground and love somebody in a truthful way. An honest way, in a way that takes care of you, first. Just like if you're on an airplane and, you know, it's going down or there's an oxygen deprivation or pressure, then you have to put that on your face first, the mask, before your child. Same is true here. We're so eager. Why are we so eager to help everyone around us when we're codependent? There's a simple answer for it. It's not a mystery. We stay safe and we get love that way. That's why. It's only a mystery when we don't process buried emotions. And you know what? There's a lot of resistance to that because we get something out of our suffering. And this is something that codependents really have to like just, it's like a come to Jesus moment. And if you don't have it, you stay in codependency. And if you have this moment, if you follow through with this, you get free. If you don't, you stay in it. But I am not helping them for them. I'm helping them because I have buried emotions and unmet needs. You see, that moment almost never happens for a codependent. Codependents don't recognize the buried anger. They spend their whole life making sure that they don't feel that, if possible. Why? Because they can't get their needs met through that emotion. So that's why a lot of codependents are anger repressors in relationship with addicts, like I was, in different ways that I've shared with you. Once I overcame the really big addictions in my life, I just noticed that I started to attract people who needed to teach me something, is what it was. It wasn't people that I was going to help. It just looked like that. No, I met people who taught me, because I needed to learn about codependency too, and people pleasing, and buried anger, not just addiction. Because I was going to keep suffering. It really wasn't never about addiction. It's actually about codependency, even addiction is. If we call it two different things, and that's a problem. Because then it's like the spouse is codependent and the other spouse is the addict. It's not true. They're both codependent, which means I'm dependent on you for my well-being, for my emotions. So the addict, although they stuff the emotions down through the addiction, they're still dependent on the relationship, like they're not being real in the relationship. So they depend on the other person to kind of tell them who they are. And that's why they have low self-esteem often, or issues with who they are, because of the repression that makes them codependent towards others. Often buried anger for addicts, not always, but often. Check the science. But really the codependent is no different. They might not have the drug. Like I didn't have the heavy drugs like people did around me, but my drug was those people. Because if I could help them, then I could get their love and approval, and I don't have to feel my anger towards them. See, if I can get them into, just get them into treatment so I don't have to feel this. That's what it was. Feel anger. But when you find your anger, you find your power, you say, no, you have to help yourself. And you let them stand on their 2 feet. And you set boundaries and you love them in a way that they feel it as strength too. Not just, oh, can I help you because I'm scared? Which is what addicts pick up on. They're smart. They know. They can read people. And even if they're not conscious of it, they know how to manipulate. We all do. And it's always just trying to get our needs met. That's always what an addict is doing. It might look evil. It might look mean. It might look really selfish. But they're just trying to stay safe and get love. And a codependent might look really helpful and so loving and like the good one in the relationship. And they're still trying to get their needs met. Same needs. It's basically the same addiction, a need for love and approval. But the codependent looks pretty good. Do you know why? They bury anger, right? It's easy to look good that way, especially when you have people around you falling apart or getting angry or upset. It makes us feel better about ourselves. It's narcissistic. People don't want to admit this, but if we're going to heal, we do have to admit it, because healing is a family thing. It's a relational thing. I don't even think there are mental health issues or addictions. I think there are relationships that are not conscious. And then therefore you have codependency, addiction, mental health issues. You're of course free to disagree, but if you get it wrong, there's a lot of suffering in getting it wrong by, for example, missing codependency coming from buried anger or addiction coming from that, or not processing it when you do and expecting different results. I hope this helps for anybody out there who gets a call tomorrow and you get that feeling like, I want to help that person, but then it doesn't work out, or something feels off about it. There's a way to help people that's really authentic, but you have to do your own work first. So if you're suffering when you're helping people, I mean, even if you're suffering in ways that don't seem connected to helping people, you might as well assume you have buried emotions and go check it out. There's a link. You can come to talk to me about a one-on-one program. If you want to work one-on-one, the free talk is just to see which program is a fit. And then if you want to just go into my group, my Jumpstart group, and learn this work in a group setting for 1 month, that's the KI Jumpstart group. You can access that through the same link. Thank you.